Okay, let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of James in chapter 2. James in chapter 2. And what was the broad outline for the book of James? Faith. Faith works. Amen. And you do not work to be saved, but if you're saved, you will work. Okay, chapter 2. And we're going to be reading from verses 1 through to 9. The Bible reads, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that when you, made your plan of salvation, Lord, and when you sent your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, that, Lord, you didn't have varying ways, a special way for special people and a not-so-special way for people who would be perceived to not be so special, but, Lord, your salvation is the same for all. And we just thank you, Lord, that for all of us to have been saved, to have been forgiven, Lord, we have nothing to glory in save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what you have done, Lord God. We just pray that you would help us here this evening, Lord, that you would empty me of myself, fill me with your Holy Spirit, just cause my speech and my preaching not to be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do pray for those here present, Lord, that, that Lord, you'd cause your word to be alive and fresh to them, Father, and that you'd speak to hearts, that, Lord, we'd be encouraged, blessed, challenged, Lord, that we would learn of you, that we would follow you and we learn of you this night. We do pray for you and for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the title for this evening's message is Be an Impartial Believer. Be an impartial believer. And we live in a world which is full of partiality, and we'll define partiality in a moment, what I mean by that. But I think perhaps you have a bit of an idea of what I mean there, a disparaging treatment of one person or of certain people as opposed to another group or another individual. And this partiality is something which comes not only, which is not only out there in the world, whether it be in the business world or wherever, but it also comes into churches as well. A wrong sort of favoritism and a shaming of others for varying reasons. There was once a Bible study, and I won't give every detail of it, but it was people, I think, for the most part that I knew. And when I give illustrations tonight and it deals with a particular group of people, I'm not marginalising them, okay? I'm just using an illustration of something I know. And within this Bible study, there was a lot of people from a Middle Eastern country who had migrated come from overseas. And the study was going on, and there was one lady who was supposed to be translating for the rest of the class. And she'd not long got her doctor's degree, I think it was, in Australia. And she wasn't translating very well with the study. She would just simply translate in general. So, oh yes, he's talking about angels, and wouldn't translate word for word. And one of the guys in the class who wasn't very educated said to her, you know, you need to translate properly. And she said, "Why don't you vacuum the floors and clean the toilets?" Ooh. What's she saying? I'm educated. I'm on a doctor's level. You're not educated. You get back where you belong. Ooh. That's what we call being partial. And treating someone badly because of something that God doesn't see as an issue, but that we as human beings may or may not. Being partial. So what is partiality? It's the Greek word prosopleusia, when we're talking about where it says, have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and not to have it with respect of persons. We're talking about respect of persons. It means partiality, which we could say the fault of one who, when called on to give judgment, has respect of the outward circumstances of man and not to their intrinsic merits, and so prefers as the more worthy one who is rich, high-born or powerful to another who does not have these qualities. Make sense? Or we could say partiality is unfair bias in favour of one person or thing, favouritism. Now, with explaining partiality, it's probably good for us to also explain what partiality is not, so they don't get confused. We live in a day very much where there's a lot of talk about not being discriminating or not being partial, but it is sometimes goes into a realm which is incorrect. So what partiality is not? Partiality is not godly discernment, okay? Godly discernment is different from partiality, okay? So it's not to be confused in that way, okay? Where God calls us to be people who are discerning and who judge by God's grace righteous judgment, okay? And can decipher by the grace of God what is true and what is not true. It doesn't mean that you cannot ever look at an individual or even a group of individuals and see a problem, okay? Paul called out the Cretans. The Cretans are always liars, slow bellies, evil beasts, okay? So he quoted one of their poets, said, "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." Partiality is not truthful, should not be pitted against truthfulness. Partiality is not to be confused with speaking the truth, okay? We just speak the truth in love, okay? And it's not wrong to tell the truth about things. For example, today, if you were to say sodomy is a sin, okay, people would straight away be against you. You're partial, you're unfair, you're unloving, you're discriminating, you're a white supremacist, you're a anti-vaxxer, you're whatever else we can throw at you for believing that. Okay, but according to the scriptures, that's not wrong to call something what it is, okay? Rightful honour, okay? Partiality is not to be confused with rightful honour, okay? There's times where we are to honour those for something they've done or to honour those who are in authority, so that's not wrong. Differing relationships, partiality is not to be confused with different levels or kinds of friendship and companionship, okay? The Bible speaks about there being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in Proverbs 18 and verse 24. So there'll be some people you'll be closer friends with, or some people you have a greater affinity with through natural means, whether it be your work or whether it be your culture or time that you have known each other for. There are those differing things. So how do I know if I am being partial? You know that you are being partial when your behaviour towards others is dictated by circumstances or things which matter to you but do not matter to God. Make sense? You know that you are being partial when your behaviour towards others is dictated by circumstances or things which matter to you but do not matter to God. And we'll see here in the text as it unfolds that the partiality was on a material basis, treating rich people with great respect and treating people who are poor with disdain and basically a low regard and even shaming them really in the church. So verse 1, we see partiality prohibited. James says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't have the faith of Christ with partiality or with respect of persons. And to be a follower, to be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is it not? It is to follow Jesus, and not merely just in a mental sense. Oh yes, I just follow Jesus, but to actually follow Him and to live, seek to, by the Spirit of God helping you, to live like Jesus Christ did. And the goal, isn't it, in sanctification is Christ-likeness, is that as I would humble myself before God and learn of God, that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and make me like the Son of God, that I would grow and become like Christ. And it should be no surprise to us that our Lord Jesus, in his ministry, life and ministry on earth, was perfectly impartial. Perfectly impartial. If there's anyone who could have been partial towards people, it could have been him. But he was not. Think about it. Didn't matter who it was, did it? A despised tax collector, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He's going to be the guest of a man that's a sinner. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Little children, no, you're of no importance, stay away. No, let them come to me. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Impartial towards children, impartial towards tax collectors, impartial towards women, in a day when there was anti-sentiment towards women. I think it was some of the religious high Jews would pray a prayer, something like, "Look, God, I thank you that you have not made me a Gentile, a pig, or a woman." But yet, the woman of Samaria, I mean, she had, in that day and age, she had a lot against her. She was a woman, she was a Samaritan, and a woman who had moral problems as well. Had 5 husbands, and then with someone now who wasn't her husband. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Yeah, impartial towards her. Or someone like Nicodemus, who in that culture was someone who would have been up the, you know, would have been up higher on the social echelon. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we see the wonderful impartiality of our Lord. And if we, as followers of Christ, it is for us not to be impartial, not to be partial either, or discriminating in the true sense of what that means to discriminate. John Phillips says, "God is neither partial nor prejudiced in his dealings with the human race. The colour of a person's skin, the size of his bank balance, the number of degrees he has after his name, or the place he holds in the social hierarchy leaves God completely unimpressed." So, to recap that point, partiality prohibited. Partiality is not Christ-like, and it is to have no place in Christianity. Next, we see partiality illustrated, verses 2 to 4. So James prohibits this. He says, don't have respect of persons, don't be partial. And then he says, "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Now, when it comes to money and what you have and what you don't have, a lot of cultures don't have a middle class. Okay, we're blessed to be able to have a middle class here, but a lot of cultures in the world have two classes of people. They have the rich and they have the poor. They have the haves and they have the have-nots. Kind of like Adelaide, you know. You've either got to work really hard or you live down south. No, just joking. No, just joking. No, that doesn't mean that. Two classes, okay, I don't mean that in a discriminating way. Two classes, they have the haves and the have-nots. Have-nots, people who are rich or people who are poor. And he uses this illustration, he says this here, he says, "For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel." Okay, so this man is someone who is a man of some material means, okay? He can afford the extras, okay? He's wearing nice clothes. He has a gold ring, and he is someone who has it. What does it mean when it says here goodly apparel, and also it refers to gay clothing. What that means, it's the word lampros, means bright or goodly, white. Okay, it also is translated gorgeous robe elsewhere in Scripture, and also bright clothing. So, this is someone of means. And then there is the poor man, okay, the poor man. And he might even be someone who has to beg to survive. Okay, he could never afford a gold ring or a nice garment to wear, and possibly even struggling to be able to feed himself. Okay, this man is dressed in clothing that is probably old and possibly damaged and dirty. Okay, vile is the word riparos, and it means to be dirty or grow filthy. So you have someone who is dressed to the nines, someone who is beautifully dressed, someone who is expensively dressed. Then you have someone who is just dressed in whatever they can get. And sometimes poor people in poor clothing come to churches even. Have you ever been at church, or have you ever been in the shops? Okay, and look, sometimes you'll talk to someone, right, and you can smell that there's a bit of BO there. But you might be in the shops somewhere, and some people, I'm not being harsh, that area where they are stinks. You had that? Oh, I'm not being harsh, I'm just saying it's a reality. If you get within a certain vicinity, you can smell them. And poor and smelly people are to be welcomed just like clean, well-dressed people are when they come to church. There may be a time when some people need to be taught something about hygiene, but they should not be alienated or excluded because they smell or because their clothing is contemptible. Whether people are rich or poor, they are to be welcomed and included equally. Right, let's look at the partial behaviour here in this section, verse 3. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Okay, so the rich man is given the best seat in the house, and the poor man is made to stand up, or is given a bad place to sit. So we say, come over here, Mr. Rich, and sit where it's comfortable. The aircon blows right on you here, and it's in a good place to view the platform. Is there anything else I can get for you? Like a glass of water? No, you're comfortable. Yeah, would you like me to take your coat for you? Okay, I hope you enjoy the service. Hello, Mr. Poor. Yeah, what? Yeah. Sit wherever you like, preferably towards the back where we don't have to see you too much. What? Yeah, there's a water fountain out there if you want something. And there's a disparagement in the way that the two are treated. And although this might stand in stark contrast, okay, not be exactly the same as our culture, those same elements are there in us to treat people because of who they are or who they are not, or who we perceive them to be or who we perceive them not to be. Okay, it's in us to be able to do that. John Phillips gives a story of a lady who used to actually test this out. I'm not necessarily saying you should do this, but this is what she'd do. Some years ago, I met a woman who liked to put this kind of behaviour to the test. She would select a fashionable church and put on old, ill-fitting clothes, shabby shoes, and a dowdy hat. She would arrange her hair in an unsightly bun and present herself at the church. Her main interest was in finding out what kind of treatment she would receive at the door, either upon arrival or at the end of the service. Usually little or no attention was paid to her at all. No one cared if she came or went. Usually she received a perfunctory handshake at the door, the preacher's eyes being busy elsewhere. The next Sunday, she would present herself at the same church in a different guise, with styled hair and wearing an expensive suit with a mink fur stole and expensive jewellery. On the way out, the pastor would be effusive. We're so glad to have you with us. This must be your first time. We do hope you'll come back. What is your name? She would look at him. Oh no, this is not my first visit. I was here last Sunday. As a matter of fact, you shook hands with me at the door too. Surely not. Oh yes, but you see, last Sunday I dressed in old clothes, and you really didn't see me at all. You said a perfunctory good morning, then you hurried on to the lady behind me, who was much more stylishly dressed than I was. And no, I shall not be back. partiality. And here we see in the area, in the text, in material wealth, but you know, partiality can be fueled by multiple things. Let's look at some of them. Partiality, as we see, can be fueled by money, okay? What people have or do not have. And multiple ways that partiality can come out in church. Sometimes a pastor can be partial towards a certain member because he knows that that member gives a lot of money. And if it's someone else, they'll be in trouble, but not him, because I don't want to affect what goes in the offering. Partiality. Clothing. What people wear. And now with clothing, there's a spiritual aspect and a practical aspect, isn't there? Okay, the spiritual aspect being to cover our nakedness, okay, that we are modest, okay, and distinct. Okay, men looking like men, women looking like women. And then obviously the practical aspect as well, because of cold, like weather today and sun and all that sort of thing. And it's not wrong to wear nice clothes either. You read in Proverbs how the Proverbs 31 woman was arrayed in silk and in purple. So not wrong to have nice clothing. But it's when people's clothing becomes the measure of a person's worth, that's wrong. When we judge by the outward appearance and say, because you're dressed nicely, therefore you make it, and if you're not, you don't make it. Don't be partial. Sometimes by caste, people can be partial due to perceiving someone to be in a lower caste than them. Met an Indian guy who was living in Bathurst at the time, and he was explaining about how where he lived, he said it was a good place to live. But he explained how that something that would happen with, say, like if someone went to the police because something had gone wrong. If it was a wealthy person who went to the police, they would be really nice here. Come sit here. Would you like a cup of tea? And then take down the report from them. He said if someone who was poor would go in, he said they laugh at you. Then they get a bribe off you. And then they help you. It's being partial. And that is not to be in the church. Not marginalising anyone. I'm just saying that ought not to be us in the church or in any aspect of our lives. Appearance. Being partial towards someone because of their appearance. Don't like them. They look ugly. Well, you Mr. Perfect? Or partial the other way. I don't like them because they do look nice. I don't look so nice. I'll make her life miserable because of it being partial because of their background. Someone gets saved out of a dirty, filthy lifestyle, and I don't think I really want to fellowship with them. Well, has the Lord forgiven them? Has the Lord washed their sins away? Does the Lord hold against them anymore? So neither should you or I. Political views. Ooh. Have Labor sitting on one side of the church, Liberal on the other. And then the rabble wherever they fit. Bringing politics into the church. Look, when it comes to voting, you want to try and put as many Christian values forward, or try and avoid the ones who are the least Christian when you're voting. But because you voted for one party or the other doesn't mean you need to be partial about it. They like you because you voted for UAP or because you voted for Labor or for Liberal or whatever. Being partial over political views. You know, there's some things that as Christians we can differ on, and we can leave it and we can fellowship. It doesn't matter. Being partial over nationality or ethnicity. Having a superiority complex that somehow my people group, my nationality, that somehow we're just that little bit better. We're the old redneck Aussies. Or whatever it be. And it's just a simple thing that sometimes, perhaps in some cultures, I know one guy told me about his culture, but he said that our culture, he said, we view all other races of people as scum. Told one of my other friends who was of the same people group, he didn't necessarily say what they said, but yeah, he said basically inferior. View other people groups as inferior. But that's not the way it is with the Lord. Is God looks past those things and is whether or not we're in Christ or not. That's what's important. Over education, people can be partial about education, okay? Whether or not you're educated or not. Or I even heard of a church where there was, if you can believe it, where there were schisms over homeschooling, over what curriculum you're using. Oh, please, so long as the kids can count and do their maths and write their name without marking an X and it's coming from a biblical basis, great. Well, you know, we don't use ACE, so, you know. Doesn't matter, does it? Being partial over church-related matters. Oh, well, you know, in the business meeting, you didn't agree with me about what I thought about the carpet, so I'm just not going to have you over to my house anymore. I'll have the blue carpet people over, but not the green carpet people. Being partial, you don't align with me, so I'm not going to be nasty to you. I'm just not going to be nice to you either. Ministry success. Partiality when it comes to pastors. This pastor's got a big church, so he's treated just that little bit different. What about the pastor who's only got 5 or 10 people in a country town somewhere working really hard and ministry is lonely and hard and discouraging with trying to reach people who are just like, nah, not interested, nah. Give him a medal. Give him a trophy. Wrong philosophies about the pastoral office. Now, we believe in pastoral leadership, but some pastors have an idea that because I'm the pastor, I'll stay separate from you. Fellowship lunch, I won't eat with you. I'll go off into the back room and I'll go out the side door and get in the car and disappear. It's just rubbish. I mean, just absolutely nothing to do with the character of Christ when it comes to leadership, but just crazy. Personality. Don't like your personality. So, I don't know, I'll just treat you differently. You're never going to get along with everyone, so just, by God's grace, get along. Overability. Or partial because of doctrinal error. I'm not better than you, I'm just more biblical. And people who start getting caught with the error starting to have their own little church within the church, being partial. Present or past conflicts. Think about when there's a war. Okay, that can cause issues. After the Second World War, it wasn't very popular to be German. But those things have to be left behind amongst Christians. Wars or tribal conflicts. Remember a PNG pastor saying that about how that about different tribal groups, and they'd come to church. And they'd have conflict with each other, so they'll sit in different areas in the church. Division there. So being partial, it can manifest in many forms. And it's something that all of us can fall into. Right? It's not just teenagers who get caught up with the idea that some people are more cool than others and some people are losers. Even adults get caught up with as well. So, to recap that point, partiality is evidenced by discriminatory behaviour. Partiality exposed. Verses 4 to 7. He says, "Are you not then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" So we see, firstly, that partiality is judgmental. Judgmental in the wrong way. The Lord said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Okay. Are you not then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil thoughts? So taking stock of what someone looks like and making a judgment on that. They had made up their own criteria for how they ought to treat people. If it was a rich person, high respect and high priority. Here, come and sit in the best place we can get for you. Poor person, low priority, low respect. They were not seeing people as the Lord Jesus Christ saw people. Not seeing people as Christ did. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, this is the Lord reading, he says, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, question, do you have a self-made criteria for judging a person's worth and importance? Right, because there's a lot of things that people get concerned about that God's not concerned about and God's not interested in. We also see that partiality is evil. Are you not then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil thoughts? John Phillips says, aren't you making class distinctions in your mind? Aren't you setting yourselves up as able to judge the true quality of other people? Aren't you having evil thoughts? Partiality is evil. Oh, yeah, we're just a bit like that. We just, you know, we're a bit proud, you know, and whatever. To categorize as worthy and not worthy upon an unbiblical basis is evil. Seems that God in Scripture hates pride, hates bigotry, and does not like us to despise one another, saved or lost. Also, we see partiality confuses true value with superficial value. Verses 5-6a, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? The richer are often poor. In one sense, they're rich materially, but are often poor spiritually. Mark 10:24-25, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And material blessings, they're obviously not a wrong thing in themselves, and God does bless sometimes, and does some believers are of very considerable means, and we see that in Scripture. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God. There were those who did have considerable wealth. But material possessions have a way of blinding people to their true needs, don't they? And don't see their need. Because being rich and increased of goods, they think they have need of nothing. Okay, like the believers that were poor in Revelation. But yeah, they think, I've got everything I need. Why could I possibly need anything else? Remember a friend of mine talking to a guy, he left the Plymouth Brethren. This other guy wasn't saved, I don't believe. And he said, you know, I make, whatever it was, over 100 grand a year. He said, I don't need God. You think, really? You'd say that? But that's the way people think. I don't see any need for God. I've got everything. And yet, they're poor, they're lost. People of great means materially sometimes, but poor. Remember the rich man? And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? But yet we see that the poor can often be rich, rich in faith. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Go somewhere like Ghana and you don't have to wrestle with people's minds about the existence of God. Atheism be very, very rare there. hardly meet an atheist that all at least have a faith in a God above all gods, most of them. Rich in faith, where they lack materially, don't have much, and yet all they can do is place their faith in God. Sometimes we don't know what it means, I think, to feel the pressure of what some poor people have to feel, which then makes us cast ourselves on God. We pray for God to supply our needs. I know we do. I'm sure you do. If you know the Lord, you'd pray and say, Lord, provide for our needs. But I've never had to sit at home there with my wife and my children around the table. I have Samuel there, Benjamin, Joanna, Ezra in the high chair, and bow our heads and say, Lord, will you please provide us some food tomorrow? Lord, will you please give us some breakfast? Lord, you know, lunch would be wonderful too. I know we've been a bit hungry today, Lord, but you've given us something at least. Lord, will you please provide for tomorrow? Yeah. But they have no recourse, and so they have to pour out their faith in God. Rich in faith, and how perhaps many of our, even our poor brethren, without being encumbered sometimes, just able to place their all their faith in Christ, to dig into the riches that they have in Christ, because they have virtually nothing else. A.P. Barnes says, the meaning is not that he is not as willing to save the rich as the poor, for he has no partiality, but that there are circumstances in the condition of the poor which make it more likely that they will embrace the offers of the gospel than the rich, and that in fact the great mass of believers is taken from those who are in comparatively humble life. Verse 6, he says, but ye have despised the poor. You know, he says, you know, hasn't God chosen the poor in this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. I mean, these people, they might be poor materially, but they're wealthy when it comes to faith. You're looking on the outward appearance, you know, you're not seeing the wealth that these people possess spiritually, and you're despising them. You're dishonoring them, you're shaming them because of their poverty. And also, says verse 6, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? So there are those who would harshly rule over people. And people with wealth can do that. Okay, in some countries, if you've got money, you can pretty well have whatever you want. Oppress, and they would oppress people. And this is possibly a reference to persecution. Perhaps people of means oppressing believers, dragging them into court. And it says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Okay, you're blaspheming the name of your Savior, dragging you into courts to get you in trouble, possibly here, get you in trouble for your Christian faith, and yet you're treating rich people as though they are just amazing, and you're treating the poor people like they're dirt. To recap on this point, we can say partiality misses reality. Partiality misses reality. Seeing people in an unbiblical, false way, looking at people in a way that God does not. Partiality misses reality. It's important, isn't it, when we see people, that we don't quickly throw them into our box, quickly categorize them, nor the other way either, someone who's wealthy and of means to throw them into a box either. Oh, you know, they're educated or they've got money, they're just like such and such. No, it's not right either. Partiality condemned, we see in verses 8 to 9. It says, if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. We see that love equals obedience. You say, how do I refrain from being a partial person? How do I be impartial to others? If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, you do well. How do I refrain from being partial? Quite simply, love that other person just as you would want to be loved. Treat that other person just as you would want to be treated. Love thy neighbour as thyself. Not patronising someone, not faking it, being nice, but inwardly going and despising them. Just simply loving them as yourself, loving them as Christ loves them, seeing them as Christ sees them. Galatians 5:14 says, "For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." And love makes me a law-abiding Christian. Partiality makes me a law-breaking Christian. Love makes me a law-abiding Christian. Partiality is disobedience. Being partial isn't fulfilling the royal law. It isn't loving your neighbour as yourself, and makes you a law-breaking Christian. So, to recap, what is partiality? It's an unfair bias in favour of one person or thing. Favouritism. What isn't it? Partiality isn't being discerning, okay? To be discerning is fine. Partiality should not be confused with speaking the truth. We ought to be truthful. Partiality isn't to be confused with rightfully honouring people, nor is it to be confused with having differing relationships, okay? How do I know if I'm being partial? You know that you are being partial when your behaviour towards others is dictated by circumstances or things which matter to you but do not matter to God. The conclusion? Partiality is sin and it has no place in Christianity. A couple of verses to finish off. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. And in all. And Galatians 3:26 to 28, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, one in Christ. And seeking to reach the lost, reaching out to our community and to others. There can be all sorts of people which will come through. People with different cultures, different personalities, different backgrounds, different levels, you could say, of wealth or lack thereof. But we need to see them as Christ sees them. Love them as ourselves. Give them the gospel. Whether they be someone who is high-born, someone who is worth a fortune, or someone who can barely afford to clothe themselves, treat them the same. Don't be partial, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, not to be partial to others for any reason, we do pray, but to love them for your sake. Thank you that we are one in Christ, Lord, that we don't have to, Lord, mess with or worry about the who's who or who's educated, who's not educated, who's anything, Lord, but just thank you, Lord, that when we're saved, we're in you, and that is what matters, Lord, and we are accepted because we're in Christ. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.